Welcome to the second half of that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP 101.5 FM. Today we are featuring garage rock. Hey, Mark, what do you have for us now?
All right, Jimmy. Our next song has been the victory anthem of Boston's baseball, basketball, and hockey teams. Yet the band who wrote this song are not from Massachusetts. The hit song Dirty Water is not a love letter to Boston, but a snotty commentator on a city where the band's producer was robbed. Formed in 1962, many consider the Standells to be the godfathers of punk rock and the originators of garage rock. Dirty Water was their first single. Released in 1966, let's have some of that dirty water.
I'm gonna tell you a story.
Standells frequently made movie and television appearances. Founder Larry Tamblyn's brother was famous actor Russ Tamblyn, who starred in West Side Story, Father of the Bride, and even choreographed Elvis Presley in Jailhouse Rock. Jimmy, do you know how the band got their name?
Did Elvis tell them, or what? You make it up?
No.
Oh, well, I thought they knew Elvis. I don't know.
Well, you know their name. You know they're not from Boston, Massachusetts. Well, the band got its name from endless hours standing around the offices of booking agents. You know, sort of like standing in line at the DMV.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Our next song is 7 and 7 Is by a band called Love. They were the original artist on Elektra Records, and their first album was called Love. And their first single was 7 and 7 Is, which was released in June of 1966 and made it into the top 40 nationally. It was the first hit for both the band and the record label. It was written by their soulful vocalist, Arthur Lee. He was once compared to Mick Jagger by saying he was a black American imitating a white Englishman imitating a black American. The song races along and comes to a climax with the sound of a bomb and then gently ends with a slowed-down bluesy guitar. Not your typical 2.5-minute single of the day. Enjoy the song.
Pretend that I was in a can. In my room.
It was on stage where love truly ruled. At the Whiskey A Go-Go in Los Angeles, their opening act was The Doors. So that's how big they were at one time. The original name of the band was The Grassroots, but they had to switch to Love because of the other band named The Grassroots. Mark, did you know that?
I did not.
Well, now you know it.
That's why you're my friend.
That's why you're my buddy.
All right, we are going to leave California and head down to Texas. The 1960s Texas music scene had a richness all of its own. One of the most notorious bands emerging from that scene were the 13th Floor Elevators. They were unique because member Tommy Hall played a ceramic jug positioned near a microphone. Now, I've watched videos, and it's the weirdest thing, but he was really good at it. The band broke new musical ground with their first album, The Psychedelic Sounds of the 13th Floor Elevators. Their most popular song, You're Gonna Miss Me, was originally written by vocalist, guitarist, and harmonica player Rory Roki Erickson when he was just 15 years old. Jim, what were you doing at the age of 15?
I can't say on the radio, sorry.
Yeah, your children might be listening. Yeah. I was mostly sleeping late. Let's give this song a spin.
You're gonna look around.
The producers of a lot of these garage rock songs loved reverb, and the harmonica was another instrument present in a lot of these garage rock songs. The 13th Floor Elevators rapidly deteriorated due to the religious use of LSD, but the song you just heard has only grown in popularity thanks to the 1972 garage and psychedelic compilation record put out by Elektra Records. And here's an interesting tidbit. Beaumont, Texas native Janis Joplin opened for the band before heading to San Francisco, where she achieved international stardom with Big Brother and the Holding Company.
Next up is a song, one of my favorites from the era, and it's another song that's listed in the Rolling Stones' Top 500 Greatest Songs of All Time, 96 Tears by Question Mark and the Mysterians. The band was out of Bay City, Michigan, having migrated with their families from Mexico. The band was originally a three-piece just called the Mysterians, but they didn't have a singer. They knew of a guy who went by the name Question Mark, but whose real name was Rudy Martinez, who was a very cool dude. He was a great dancer and he had a great style of singing, so they asked him to be their front man. He is the one who wrote the song, but the original title was 69 Tears, but you know, they were a little fearful of that title, so they changed it to 96. The song 96 Tears was getting a lot of local airplay, mostly in northern Michigan and Canada. Cameo Records heard it and then finally licensed the song nationally, and it became number one in the United States in October of 1966.
Teardrops for one heart to carry on. You're way on top now. Since you left me, you're always laughing way down at me. But watch out now. Together for just a little while, and then I'm gonna put you way down here, and you'll start crying. 96 tears. Be on top, you be right down there looking up, and I might wave, come up here, but I don't see you waving now. I'm way down here wondering how I'm gonna get you, but I know now I'll just cry. Carry on. You're gonna cry 96 tears. You're gonna cry 96 tears. You're gonna cry, 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 cry now. You're gonna cry, 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 cry 96 tears. Come on, let me hear you cry now. 96 tears. Woo! I wanna hear you cry.
That was 96 Tears by Question Mark and the Mysterians. They were a very, very young band. Both guitarist Bobby Balderrama and organist Frank Rodriguez were only 14 when the song was recorded in 1965. And the band appeared on American Bandstand while they were all in high school. Amazing. Here's a tough question. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Who briefly played bass for Question Mark and the Mysterians and then went on to play in one of the biggest bands of the 60s and the early 70s?
I got it. Jack Bruce of Cream.
Nope. Try again.
John Entwistle of The Who.
Nope. Try again.
Okay, I'm just going to take a wild guess. Mel Shaker of Grand Funk Railroad.
You got it. You're
all
so
right.
smart.
You're I got
so smart.
It.
That's why we're together here.
All
you
right.
and I are on the same page.
All right. Our next band was formed in 1963. They grew their hair longer than their counterparts, really long. And their approach to the blues was more irreverent than purist. Their sound was part Rolling Stones, Yardbirds, The Kinks, and The Who. Boy, that's a pretty good combination. Their fans included Jimi Hendrix, David Bowie, and Jim Morrison. I'm talking about The Pretty Things. So let's listen to their 1964 single, Don't Bring Me Down, a totally different song of the same name that was recorded by The Animals and the Electric Light Orchestra.
Just wanna roll. I tell you, man, don't wanna home. I want around, be off the ground. I need to go from town to town. I say, I think this life is grand. Say, I dig it, man. Don't bring me down, man. Don't bring me down. I meant this shit. And then to me, she says she'll stay. I got this plan, just like a cave. And we have a little rave. And then I'll be eating on the ground. My head is spinning round. Don't bring me down. Don't bring me down. Someone new, and then to him I won't return. I had a bird and pearls of fame. I even buy a wedding ring. But until then, I says I am. I see I dig it, man. Don't bring me down. Don't bring me down.
Again, this song offers another great example of the use of blues harp and reverb in the garage rock genre. The Pretty Things took their name from a Bo Diddley song, and their lead guitarist, Dick Taylor, played bass briefly for the first incarnation of the Rolling Stones. The band's first three singles off their debut album created excitement in the UK, but their music never quite landed in the United States.
Our next song was written by the Isley Brothers, which they recorded in 1963. But a band called The Human Beings recorded the same song, Nobody But Me, and it made it their own by adding a lot more nose to their version of the song. It was a big hit, reaching number 8 on the Billboard 100 in 1968, and unfortunately they were a one-hit wonder. I want you to listen at the end of the song. There's a tinging sound, and that tinging sound is the bass player hitting an empty Pepsi bottle with a drumstick. They thought it would be kind of cool to try that. So here is Nobody But Me by The Human Beings.
Like I do,
That was Nobody But Me by the Human Beans. What a great song. I don't know, Mark, if you ever saw the opening segment of one of the Office shows that the cast lip-synced the whole song. You got to YouTube it because it's hysterical.
Yeah, you know what? I never watched that show.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, I know it's a great show. I just don't watch it.
Well, go watch it.
Okay.
Do something with your life.
I will. Well, I will.
There's more than rock music in your life.
My wife hopes so.
Yeah.
All right. Our next song and our next band is one of my all-time favorites. On the surface, Paul Revere and the Raiders looked like a novelty act with their Revolutionary War costumes, boots, tights, and the ponytail worn by singer Mark Lindsay. They were initially marketed as America's answer to the British invasion bands. Unfortunately, numerous teen magazine photo spreads and regular appearances on television shows like Dick Clark's Where the Action Is detracted from their instrumental creds. Nevertheless, the Raiders churned out a parade of radio-friendly hits that most bands not named the Rolling Stones or the Beatles would find envious. Here is one of those earliest hits, Just Like Me.
It's just like me, say to you, help me do, and I'll be true. And what I'd like for you to say is you'll come home. You'll be my girl, that's what I want. Just you, sweet girl, not a front. It's just like me, I feel so blue, and I fall so much in love with you.
Lead singer Mark Lindsay listened to all kinds of music, and as a result, the band's direction changed from record to record. One of the more humorous moments in the band's history is when censors erroneously focused on the unintelligible but clean lyrics of the Kingman song Louie Louie. At the same time, the Raiders' version had the F word buried in one of Mark Lindsay's spontaneous shouts.
Well, Mark, I got to tell you, one of the very first albums I bought with my own money was a Paul Revere and the Raiders album.
Oh, I thought they were the toughest band for the times.
I loved them. You couldn't wait to get home, watch Where the Action Is, and watch them playing on the beach. Yeah, that was fun. Well, anyway, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed our version of Garage Rock. Please join us each week for songs and talk about the greatest era of rock and roll. We are on every Monday from 6:30 to 7:30 and Fridays from 11 to noon. Please let us know what you'd like to hear on our program by emailing the station.
Our book, Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, is available on Amazon. You can view Jim's website at jimsamariaphoto.com. You can also find us on Facebook. You've been listening to That Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRU 101.5 FM.